And I think he got three from play, didn't he? He was the
Yeah.
one. He was the one live wire, the one positive piece up front, and he was coming onto the ball and on the loop and putting himself in great positions and kicked some great scores. Yeah, you're probably right. A bit of experience. Once he got the couple, he started. Maybe he took on a couple more. Do you know what I mean? But at least he was still getting in those positions and still creating those opportunities. But he was the only kind of. He was the only kind of threat, maybe. Do you know what I mean? I think young Cunningham in the corner kicked one, I think, as far as I
Yeah.
know. Yeah, but he was he's the type of player that, and even Keane Darcy, I suppose, getting games under his belt and stuff like that. That if Pádraig does get the lads back, that he might be able to slot in there and be able to even play off Comer to be able to offer a different option because. You have to have more than one dimension in your inside forward line. You know what I mean? It's very, very easy to kind of close down one key player, and you need that different dynamic, a different player for him to kind of play off and try and get a little bit more creativity in there.
The Maroon and White Pod brought to you by CityLink. For bookings, timetables, updates, and any other information, head to citylink.ie.
You're welcome along to the Maroon and White Pod. Disappointment for Galway at the weekend, where they were comfortably beaten by Dublin in Pearse Stadium. Kind of always felt like Galway were chasing that game, and it's now really a must win because if Galway are to lose to Kerry and Roscommon do get a win against Derry, Galway will be playing Division Two football. So, massive game now against Kerry coming up at the weekend. But I'm delighted this week to be joined by Kieran Whelan, former Dublin footballer and of RT Sport as well. First of all, Kieran, at the weekend, a comfortable victory for Dublin against Galway.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me on. A very comfortable victory, I think, being honest. The writing was probably on the wall after 10 minutes. I think Dublin went 5-2 up and they fairly much cruised from there on in. Probably from a Galway perspective, they're meeting a Dublin team that's in top form at the moment, and probably surprise a lot of us here in Dublin, even how they've kind of kicked on from last year's All Ireland final win when there was a kind of a sense that, they might squeeze one more out and get over the line. And they've really kicked on this year and all their key players are brimming with confidence and the new lads that have been brought into the fold. It's taken a bit of time with them over the last couple of years, but they're all developing nicely as well. So Dublin were still missing a good few players as well, but they really looked comfortable. And granted, you're coming up against a Galway team that's I don't know whether you can say they're in transition really. They're just obviously down a lot of their significant key players, and they're trying to maybe develop players themselves. But the game itself was it was fairly much a damn squid. If I'm being honest, Dublin never looked in trouble. Galway never looked like winning the game. There was some positives from a Galway perspective, but Dublin were very, very, very comfortable in everything they're doing, and they just play. Dublin play what's in front of them, and they have kind of developed this style now where they can kind of dictate games and they can adapt to games depending on how the opposition set up. So, listen, a good place for Dublin to be. I know from a Galway perspective, you probably don't feel the same, but you just got Dublin at the wrong time, I think.
Just when you say that with Dublin that they've kicked on, what's the one thing I suppose why they have kicked on in this league campaign? Because even after Monaghan and Mayo, like it's remarkable to think where they are now, more than likely heading for a league final.
Yeah, and felt the Monaghan game was maybe there was a bit of a hangover from the All Ireland final, and but like the word in Dublin was they certainly had work done before Christmas. They'd more work done. They got the holiday out of the way early in November, so they have a good base to work there. And obviously with the split season, it's you have to have you don't have that gap between the league kind of that you used to have. Dublin traditionally would have had maybe a 5-week gap where they used to have a bit of downtime post league. Now you're running straight into Leinster Championship, and I suppose listen, they have to probably, the league games they're getting, the competitive league games they're getting, is probably going to be a much higher standard than what they're going to face now in the Leinster Championship. So they do kind of have a period maybe to taper off and then come back for the group system, but it's really just the. If I know they're still missing key players, the likes of James McCarthy, Mick Fitzsimons, Stephen Cluxton will no doubt be back. Jack McCaffrey obviously only came off the bench there the weekend. Paul Mannion only came off the bench, so they still have four or five quality players to bring back into the fold. But I think it's really been, some of the other players that have really stood up in this league campaign. They've found a few. The likes of Sean Bugler has been excellent and always been there, a good few years. But even Niall Scully has returned to form. He had an all kind of year last year. Kieran Kilkenny is brimming with confidence. Conor Callan has games under his belt. And the other lads that, had took them maybe a couple of years, the Ross McGarry and the Lauchlan O'Dells and Keane Murphys and the Tom Lahiffs, they're now beginning to show the benefit of getting a lot of inter-county minutes under their belt, and that can be that can take time, that can take time. And I think when you look at it even from the position that Galway are in at the present time, and while I suppose Páirc Joyce is probably looking at it and he's saying, well, he's missing a lot of key players, and there is that challenge that you do need them back and you need game time. Like, he is developing new players, do you know what I mean? And I think it does take time. People have to be patient. And the likes of like Johnny McGrath at a great league, Daniel O'Flaherty, I think has been excellent. Keane Darcy's getting better. Cillian O'Curran, Niall Daly, the edge of the square. So they're kind of that, while people don't see the benefit now, and people have this very high expectation that when people come in, players come in, they should perform immediately. It takes a bit of time to get comfortable within a county jersey. And while the results mightn't be going their way, there's definitely positives there that you're trying to bring players to bring through the future. And you can see that that has happened with Dublin over the last 2, 3 years.
Casey Farrell's interview after the game, I suppose if you're a Galway fan and you listen to it after, and he says he's not happy with certain aspects of that performance. It's just even tougher to hear after a result like that.
Yeah, like, listen, and that's a typical, interview after the match, you know what I mean, where he kind of, maybe there was the second quarter, Dublin got a little bit sloppy at times, you know what I mean, and kicked away a bit of ball and turned over a bit of ball. But, apart from that, their performances in Galway, the performance up in Derry, the performance against Kerry and Croke Park, where, when you compare it to maybe some of the performances this time last year, have been just much, they've been much more efficient in everything they're doing in terms of the option taken on the ball, the shape of their forward line. They're mixing it up with when they'll kick it in direct and long when it's on. They'll counter attack through the hands when it's on, or if they're slowed down, they can build it through the phases and cut teams open because they're getting good guys into that D area and they're getting runners off the shoulder. So they're like this time last year, Dublin were performances were probably a little bit sloppy in the league, and there were a lot of their shot options. They were hitting a lot of wides. They just weren't as clinical and as sharp as they have looked. So, listen, he's always going to be looking for something to work on. But it's like in some ways, I kind of said this, after the Derry game, that you just don't, you're hoping that they're not peaking too early. But as I said, they can maybe taper off maybe in the Leinster Championship. But they're going to be a very formidable opponent this year. And I'd be very honest, while a lot of people in Dublin didn't expect that they were going to kind of kick on, but they have done, and they've done it in style, and they're in good shape now. They're in good shape.
On Ireland favourites for you now?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I do. And I didn't I probably wouldn't have thought, if you had asked me after the All Ireland last year, would Dublin be in this position? I wouldn't have thought so. Yeah, I do. I think they're definitely favourites, all right. But a lot of other teams are gonna, improve as the year goes on, and it's still early days. As much as the championship starts in a couple of weeks' time, which is hard to believe. A lot of teams will improve, but I don't know whether they'll do enough to maybe close the gap on Dublin. I think they're going to be fairly formidable this year.
On Pádraig's comments after the game, he said that Galway lacked fight, and he was disappointed with that. Like, we have touched on it even early on when Dublin raced into that 5 points to two lead. Galway were kind of in the first half, they're always getting it to three or four, but then Dublin in the second half just always it had always stretched out to five or six, and I think it was even seven as well at one stage.
Yeah, like Galway, as I said, never looked like winning the game. And it looked like they nearly conceded nearly after that 10, 15 minutes, and they never looked like Dublin. You felt that Dublin were still in third gear and Dublin could up it whenever, when they got back. I think they might have got back to four, maybe four in the second half, and Dublin were just kind of going to be able to up it again. And I think like it is a little bit, if I was a Galway fan now, you're absolutely concerned going into the championship, because I think if you look back coldly at the league, you have to park it, I suppose, that you're missing a lot of quality, a lot of quality players, but there's no focal point in the attack. There's no X factor in the attack. There's the players that are brought in are relatively new players. You're missing, obviously Paul Conroy doesn't have games under his belt. Tierney's out. Finnerty was out at the weekend. Damien Coghlan with the edges. Where Shane Walsh, like the whole dynamic of the forward line isn't that Galway have had the last few years is not there. I think that's shown in the league games where they've struggled up front to get scores, and they've struggled with their creativity. Like they're, I don't know, Galway are averaging 10, 11, 1-11, 12 points a match. You know what I mean? They're not putting up big scores. And if you look coldly at the league, even the game. They're 5 points, and I know they're fighting for their lives next week, and it won't be easy going down to Kerry. And even the win against Tyrone, I remember watching that game, that they're really poor in the first half, but then showed a lot of character in the second half. Johnny Heaney kind of dragged them through that day. So outside of that game, they've had the Monaghan game where they got the 3 goals, and they've had the draw against Roscommon. So you would be concerned for Galway going into the championship, because again, when you look at the quality of players that have to come back, it's very simplistic to say when they come back everything will be fine. It won't be fine. You need games. You need games under your belt, and you can't beat match sharpness. And particularly guys at the latter part of their career, as you get older, you definitely need more games to get that little bit sharper. So it's going to be, obviously they're hoping that Derry maybe do them a favour next weekend. If they can preserve their Division One status, that will be one box ticked. And then, do they have to use the period of the provincial championships to regroup and get lads back on the field and come strong for the group stages? There's still a little bit of time there, but at the moment, looking at them, it's you'll be very, very worried about the like they're just without the quality players that are injured. It drops Galway to the next level.
Just on the team that started, Ciarán, because I kind of found it a bit baffling, to be honest, just with the way we went. Owen Kelly came in, he went to centre back. John Daly then moved out to the wing back, and we've seen John Kelly at six for the majority. But to put a player then like Dylan McHugh, a centre half forward, you're almost kind of setting up to, I suppose, contain Dublin. And then your two wing forwards are John Heaney and Colm Sweeney, or workman like wing forwards. Like already you're kind of setting up there, it felt like to me, to contain Dublin.
Yeah, and I think that's naturally that's what happens when people come up against Dublin teams. And the thing about Dublin is Dublin will go after you. Dublin will, like, you probably the best scores that Galway probably got at the weekend was when they got at Dublin quickly. They got a few long kickouts away. Dublin will give you chances and they'll give you opportunities. That's one thing, they'll take risks. And if you get those two or three chances in a game, you have to be clinical. And that's a danger against Dublin, but I think it's probably a natural instinct on behalf of management to be conservative when you're coming up against a Dublin team. But I think it definitely took away from their attacking ability, and they didn't look like a team that was playing with any structure or methodology to their attack. It was kind of like, okay, if we're slowed down, we'll go left and hope. They were nearly playing on the basis of hope that they'll punch a hole or they'll get through or they'll create an opportunity. There was very, very little structure or game plan to their attacking game, and it was as you're 100% right. That was kind of like, maybe curtail Dublin, try stay in the game. Roscommon done something similar, but Dublin pulled away from them. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's and listen, it's difficult. Like it must be, it's challenging for Páirc Joyce and his management team at the moment that they don't have the quality. And if you look at, if you look at all the other teams in Division One, operating at the moment, even Tyrone and Monaghan the other night, The Jack McCarrans, the Conor McManus, the Darragh Canavans, the Darren McCurries, these are the guys that have that kind of X factor, that if you get to the ball and they'll create something, they'll make something happen, they'll create opportunities, or a goal opportunity will open up. Galway lacking that at the moment, and in fairness to Killian O'Curry, done very well at the weekend and stuff like that. They are players, again, you have to be patient, I think, with these players. You have to, the expectation sometimes can be too much too soon, and it does take people time to adapt into that, into County Jersey. I don't care what anybody says, and that's, we've definitely seen that in Dublin. Even the new players have come in the last couple of years, so like they are the little chinks of light that there's guys getting games in that, in that jersey, and they will get better, but it's not going to solve the short-term problems,
The big difference I found was in the first half, Niall Scully gets the ball in midfield and it's just route one into Conn. Galway just, it never seemed direct. It just seemed to be too slow on too many occasions.
And I suppose, Paul, it's a kind of a, it's probably a little trend with the game. Some teams will, you see more and more teams are beginning to take a bit of risk, and will put boot to ball and are beginning to kick it, and know if they get into the danger zone, they can get something off it. Dublin, have kind of, they, even last year against Kerry, the All-Ireland final, they weren't afraid to put it in early. And if you were one on one or a two on two, or you had that opportunity in there, why not? You should be doing that. But unfortunately, I think there's some teams that are still very much possession based, and will retain possession at all costs, and have that fear maybe to take on shots and move that ball quickly. And listen, it's easy to say, and Dublin are winning matches and they have all that quality. Of course, it's easy to make three or four mistakes. You can get away with it. You can carry them. You can be covered off. Do you know what I mean? It's not as easy maybe for the teams at that next level, that if they do take those risks, or they take too many risks, and they didn't get anything out of it, then their stats will show they turned over the ball and they maybe conceded, say, 3 or 4 points from maybe each time they kicked the ball. That's the reverse part of that, but you've got to, and I think that's where Damien Comer's really missed, being honest, that he's that type of player that you can put in there. And if and Galway have done that in the past, like if he's in there, you put boot to ball, and he's going to win a high percentage of chances. And I know they've been trying Niall Daly kind of in there at the edge of the square, but he's more kind of drifting out to get on ball rather than, again, no direct ball maybe being put in on him. And you would, it's one of the things you would, still, you got to ask questions of the Dublin full back line now. I know people for years have kind of said that there's a potential weakness there, but they've generally kind of stood up and they can cover that off. But it's a fair point. Galway were very static in their forward movement, and didn't kick the ball much at all. You know what I mean? They weren't looking for that option to try and create something.
The one positive, I suppose, we can take from the weekend from a Galway perspective is he benched him there. Killian McCarron, only out of under 20. He's been in and out of the team, but they decided to start him from the start. And just the scores and the bravery he was, even I know he missed one or two, but I don't think supporters had an issue with that. He was just willing to take on his man at every occasion he got.
Yeah, well, he was looking, I think he got three from play, didn't he? He was the one live wire, the one positive piece up front, and he was coming onto the ball and on the loop and putting himself in great positions and kicked some great scores. You're probably right. A bit of experience. Once he got the couple, he started, maybe he took on a couple more. Do you know what I mean? But at least he was still getting in those positions and still creating those opportunities. But he was the only kind of threat, maybe. Do you know what I mean? I think young Cunningham in the corner kicked one, I think, as far as I know. Yeah, but he's the type of player that, and even Keane Darcy, I suppose, getting games under his belt and stuff like that, that if Pádraig does get the lads back, that he might be able to slot in there and be able to even play off Comer, to be able to offer a different option, because you have to have more than one dimension in your inside forward line. You know what I mean? It's very, very easy to kind of close down one key player, and you need that different dynamic, a different player for him to kind of play off and try and create, get a little bit more creativity in there.
Even with Darcy too, like at the weekend, he did well on Brian Fenton at stages, like winning a couple of kickouts off him as well.
Yeah, no, he did, and like in fairness, it was probably one of Fenton was absolutely awesome up in Derry and Kerry. Like he's by far, like he's the best player in the country. I personally, I think, and I know Conor Glass didn't match up to him in the game a couple of weeks ago, but Glass is obviously the other top player at the moment, but Fenton to me is just the ultimate kind of midfielder who turns up week in, week out, and he just has that level of consistency. And he had a middling game. He didn't, so yeah, Keane Darcy, I thought done quite well on him, because it's not, again, a lot of people really sacrifice their games when they come up against Fenton, and they don't have any influence on the game. I think the key thing, if you're putting someone on Brian Fenton, they have to have influence on the other side, and he's difficult. He's very, very difficult to stop because he makes it look so easy,
Just on Galway, it's disappointing as we mentioned, but Curran, Cunningham, all these new players, it's so challenging for them because, like as we're talking here, all these new players getting their chance are all coming in together at once, and it's like if you had even a Cunningham with a Damien Comer, like I was mentioning, that you kind of have one small, one big man with a bit of experience to bring others into the game. That's probably Galway's challenge at the minute.
It is, because it's very it's as I said, it's people have to be paid. Like it's such a big step up, for people to go in and put on that inter-county jersey, and it takes you, it comes with its own pressure and its own nerves, and to and as you said, with so many of them being thrown in collectively, and then to be in Division One and a couple of results go against you, that puts added pressure on you, and it doesn't sometimes allow your confidence to develop. Or, if you're brought into a situation, and Dublin have probably been able to do that we've been able to like bring in players, that and still have a lot of experience around them. And like going back to the whole Dublin piece and those players that I mentioned, the likes of Ross McGarry and Lorcan O'Dell and Keane Murphy, Tom Lahiff and all that sort of, like if you go back to once it got to All-Ireland semi-final and final stage last year, they weren't featuring, they had kind of drifted on the sidelines. They got a lot of game time in the league last year, and in the early parts of the Leinster Championship, but it just took them time. It took them time to develop, and then they got additional games this year. But that confidence comes with winning games as well, and if you had the Shane Walsh and the Matthew Tierneys and the Paul Conroys and the Damien Comers and the Kieran Mahoys and the Killian McDade, if you have four or five of them back into that team, it allows you probably to really focus in and develop one or two, and at a kind of a with a bit of confidence behind them. And it's like, listen, it's scary when you look at the list of players that Galway are missing. That's the spine of the team. It's hugely challenging for them I suppose, to be able to perform at that level in Division One with so many new players,
How do the management pick up the players heading to Killarney next weekend?
I suppose from a management perspective, it's difficult going down to Killarney. Kerry are not easily beaten in Killarney, so it's trying to instill that bit of belief in them, and it's trying to take the positives out of last week's performance. But it's going to be hugely, hugely challenging. Kerry are beginning to. Kerry probably got their wake up call against Dublin in Croke Park. They're going to right land that evening. They've got their structure back defensively. You can see that they're definitely working on the defensive element of their game again, and the Cliffords up front. So it's a daunting challenge, Paul. It's not easy for Galway to go down there. Like if we to be honest, would you fancy them to get something out of the game? I don't think so. I think it's going to be very, very challenging, and you're probably hoping that, the way Mickey Hart operates, that he really tries to win most games. That Derry probably, even if he rests three or four, might still be too good for Roscommon, and that might be what saves Galway. But like Páirc Joyce has just got to, he'd be looking for aspects of their performance. He'll definitely be looking for a higher intensity level. Like I thought, in fairness to Galway, in some of the games particularly the Derry game, even though they lost. I thought defensively they worked really hard. I thought there was an intensity level about them. They turned over Derry 5 or 6 times, which is un-Derry-like. And, you know, coming away from watching that game, you were kind of saying, well, you couldn't fault them for their commitment and their effort. That wasn't there probably at the weekend, that level of intensity. They probably, you know, they probably gave Dublin too much respect and and waved the flag too early. So he'd be definitely looking to bring that level of intensity back into their defensive play, that they work harder, that they force more turnovers, and try to bring a bit of creativity into the attack, move that ball quicker if they can. And I suppose he'd be, I don't know, you're probably closer to than I am in terms of, I don't know whether he's anybody returning from injury, but obviously
There's no one
there's
back for next weekend.
no one back for next weekend. So that's Paul Conroy might be the only one that could maybe start. So yeah, like that's it's usually worrying that there's nobody near, you know, that there's still so many of them out. I think Paul Joyce touched on that, didn't he? He said that none of them are training at the moment. They're good long-term injuries. So yeah, listen, he'd be looking for a performance next weekend, you know what I mean? And that starts with their intensity, their work rate, their tackling, their turnovers. And if they can build, if they bring that aspect to the game, they might, you know, be able to stay in the game and try and create something up front.
Yeah, I know Liam Silk, he was togged the last day, but he didn't come on board, said it wasn't the right game for him. So maybe he might be back. Rob Finnerty could be back with the dead leg, but the rest of them
That's right.
aren't going to be back. And it's not impossible either from a goalie perspective that Roscommon go up to Derry and pick up something, because like Derry are very close to in a league final. Like Kerry would really have to hammer Galway for Derry to not be in a league final.
Yeah, that like the only thing I'd say, like Derry are fairly ruthless in their approach. You know, I would have been disappointed that they didn't field fully the day against Dublin, and that was the one game they kind of rested the whole half back line and the midfield and all that sort of stuff. But Celtic Park's not an easy place to go and get anything. And you know, they have, you know, like listen, there's no doubt with Derry 1 foot in the final, Mickey Hart will make three or four changes. He'll try and give, because one of the aspects, key aspects for him is he has to have depth come later on in the year, and he has to find similar to Coe, he has to find 5 or 6 players he can rely on. So he'll probably make a few changes, but I still think he'll, you know, there'll be 11, 10, 11 players of their first 15 probably playing in that game. Unless he makes radical changes. You say, you listen, you don't know. It happened last year. You know, Monaghan got out of jail because Mayo fielded a second string in the very last game, and that saved them on the last day. So, listen, it depends on the team that Mickey Hart names, but he fairly much tries to win every game. He will have one eye on the league final, there's no doubt about it. But yeah, it will be a tough task for us coming to get something up there. But you never know. You never know. The funny, stranger things have happened on the final day of the league. You just know what's going to happen. So, yeah, Galway will definitely have they'll have a link to Celtic Park next week. There's no doubt about it. See how it's going.
Exactly. The one thing is Galway can bring in maybe even one or two players. Like you might expect Paul Connor and Jack Lynn to probably come back in from the States. Liam Silk and Robert Finnerty, given the fact they're coming back from injuries, they probably don't have a full 70 in them yet. But that's one thing Bory can't really do based on this Dublin game now, make radical changes, because I suppose just the key players aren't there, they're fit. Like, so he has to probably keep it maybe 13 out of the 15, probably start again against Kerry.
Yeah, it'd be much the same team, but like he's gonna be relying, you know, like Paul Conroy to me is a massive player for Galway. You know, whenever he performs and he ticks over the last year, Galway perform. And I know again he's probably at the latter stages of a career, so he needs games. He needs games under his belt. So yeah, unless does he start him from the middle? I start him from the beginning, and then if he has Finnerty definitely would be. Give them a little bit more firepower on that inside line. Do you know what I mean? If O'Curry maybe coming from one side of the pitch, Finnerty can cut in from the other side of the pitch on his left. So yeah, he'd definitely be an added bonus. But yeah, he doesn't have many options. You know what I mean? You know, Johnny Heaney's has been, I thought, has been excellent for Galway throughout the league. You know, he's really kind of carried them as well. He's always a an 8 out of 10 player for me since I've been watching Galway. But yeah, he hasn't got, as you say, he hasn't got a whole lot of options the weekend. It will be much probably the same team.
If they are to, do you think they can get something against Kerry at the weekend?
I think it's extremely difficult, Pat. And again, if they show Kerry any sort of respect, I stand off them, similar like they've done with Dublin in the first 10, 15 minutes, Kerry will put them away as very, very, very easily. And we know the quality that Kerry have. Now I didn't see all of the Kerry game yesterday. I only saw the first half to catch up in the second half. But in the first half, certainly they looked like they were cruising and they were in control. They're playing into the wind. But Kerry and Killarney are just, they're very, very different. It's like there's not many teams that go to Killarney and come away with points. I'm sure if you look back to the stats, there's you know they very seldom give up anything in Killarney. So it would be I can't see it. They give Kerry if Kerry field full strength and have their forward line including the Cliffords and Sean O'Shea, it's just very, very difficult to see where Galway can get something from. I know that's probably what you didn't want to hear, but that's been the truth of
No,
it.
I think we'd all agree now, especially with that after weekend. Just when you mentioned there standing off Dublin, how do Galway set up to, I suppose, first of all, going into this game, it'll have to be competitive and be in the game at halftime, because that's what didn't happen against Dublin. They weren't in, they were 3 points down, but they weren't in the game really. Everyone kind of felt that. If Galway were to, I suppose, first aim, stay in this game for as long as possible, how do they go about that?
Yeah, like that, and this is probably one of their challenges that they can't probably go out and press right up on Kerry and go man to man or Kerry and take those risks because Kerry get in behind you, they'll destroy you. So they can't probably play the game that they maybe like to play. You know what I mean? And that was the game played that Dublin probably played in Croke Park 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they caused Derry a lot or Kerry a lot of problems, but they really went after Kerry. They squeezed them out of the field and they forced them into kind of long kickouts. They put them on the back foot from those kickouts. They really made Kerry uncomfortable. Can Galway play that game? I don't think they can. If I'm being honest, I don't think they can. So they'll probably have to look at, at keeping it tight enough and trying to curtail Kerry and trying to get them hit them on the counter attack, but they're definitely going to have to, if they push out the field, if they try squeeze Kerry, you'd see Kerry would do a lot of damage in the forward line. So they probably will set up probably similar to Roscommon did just maybe in that first half, but it's going to be very, very difficult to curtail them.
Who's been Galway's standout player in the National League for you?
For the games that I've seen, listen, John Daly's been going well at centre back. He's the fulcrum there in terms of going forward. Now maybe everything has to go through him. But probably Johnny Heaney. I think he's been his usual 8 out of 10 performance at that wing forward position. He's kind of our key leader at the moment, and driving him in that middle eight, he's probably been the best player.
It was just interesting. I was listening to Tomás O'Shea and Lee Keegan. They were obviously on the RT panel at the weekend at the game, and they were to put a question about Galway, like, and Tomás O'Shea doesn't really reckon they're in the All Ireland conversation. Do you reckon they're in the All Ireland conversation, or at the moment is no? I know obviously there's players to come back and everything, but with a full squad, do you think they're?
I think with a full fit squad with game time under their belt that is sharp and they definitely come into the conversation in terms of the top five or six. Where they are now, they're back in my view in the second tier. They're not going to put the fear into the bigger teams without the quality of players that they have. And I suppose it depends on the extent of the injuries because, you can't can't keep going every week making excuses, because the longer, the deeper you get into the championship, that role just runs out. So it really depends on the extent of the injuries and whether they have the capability of getting those lads back. But at this present time, without missing that quality, they're well down the pecking order, in my view. They're outside the top 4 or 5 anyway. And I couldn't see them competing. Not with the current team, you know.
More than likely, Galway should get to a Connacht final. It'd be a Sligo or Leitrim, obviously, in a Connacht semi. But like with these players, if they even come back for a Connacht championship, because it's unlikely now that we're going to see any of them in the league, this isn't just going to automatically click. Like these players haven't played football in 2024.
Yeah, no, they haven't, and that's the challenge I'm saying. You can, the margins are so tight at intercounty football that if you're not 100%, you get badly exposed. And you need games, and you need game sharpness, and you need training sharpness. So if you've been out a long term injury, you're back into a pre-season situation where it takes you at least 5 6 weeks to get up to scratch. So you don't have the time frame is so tight that. Like, okay, you would expect Galway to be in a Connacht final. That Connacht final is probably end of April. It's probably 5 6 weeks away. So it depends whether these lads can get back on the field of play, get a couple of games under their belt. They'll probably, go into that game probably as underdogs, depending on who's back. If they get over Sligo Leitrim, they'll go into that game probably as underdogs. And Connacht Championship, I'm watching the games too long now, Paul, to know anything can happen when it comes to predicting who's going to win between Galway and Mayo, or Mayo Roscommon, or Roscommon Galway. When those three are in the melting pot, anything can happen. You know what I mean? But I do think, the real progress is the end of the year is when they get into that group system. And Galway would have been a little bit disappointed that they didn't kick on, I suppose, last year and after the previous year. There will be a lot of lessons learned from last year, in terms of the timing, the matches, the group. You need that bit of depth and all that sort of stuff. So that's when the real questions are going to be asked. So they probably have what they've 7 weeks, maybe 7 8 weeks to that point. It's tight depending on where the injuries are. But they've got to get some of those key players back on the field.
Yeah, and I don't think as supporters any of us are panicking yet, but I think as it does come to later in the year, I think Galway supporters are expecting something because this is year five ultimately under this management team, and it does feel like it's a big year where something does have to happen.
Yeah, I suppose there's probably those internal pressures. And can you share, looking at it from a neutral perspective, can you share a lot of optimism that something will happen? Looking at the facts now laid out on paper and where they are at, it doesn't look too optimistic. But that can all change very quickly. If you get a bit of momentum, we've seen it so many times. Look at this time last year, Mayo are flying high. Everybody was they were being talked up, which I'm sure you up down in Galway you'd love to see.
Exactly.
They were being talked up, and they hit a they flattened out, and a couple of really bad performances in the group against Cork and Louth and that sort of stuff. So the whole year can change with a bit of momentum and a bit of confidence. But you have to have the ingredients, and the ingredients is a bit of quality and the level of fitness to be able to knit it all together. So everybody knows that the quality is there in Galway if they get them back on the pitch, but it's time looks against them at this point.
Just before we do finish here on, the review committee have obviously come in this year, and a lot of high profile people involved with it. What's the one rule you'd like to see brought into the game?
Just one. I suppose for me, I'd love to see them amend the black card rule and get it right. That the black card rule I think they admitted when they brought it in was worded incorrectly, that it had to be a deliberate pull to the ground. I'd love to see that amended, where it's about a deliberate foul rather than a pull to the ground. I think that would be, and one of the bugbears that I have around the game is this, I've always pushed for 13 aside because I think the level of conditioning now and 15 players on the field in terms of how they can get up and down the pitch is phenomenal. And breaking down 15 players defensively leads to a possession type game, which we're all accustomed to. And I think taking two players off from either side would definitely create much more space and probably encourage more kicking. But one of the aspects that I would like is this is stopping a quick counter attack, slowing down the game when a ball is turned over, and a deliberate foul that slows down the momentum of the game. Because I think we are getting some really good passages of play, like we saw Canavan's goal the other night. We're seeing really good counter attack in football now, and a lot of teams are trying to really improve that aspect so they can get at the opposition defense quicker. They can put boot to ball and move the ball quicker, and that deliberate foul after a turnover is will be one of my bugbears. So that, along with 13 aside, along with the abolishment of your mark and no pass back to the goalkeeper, they'd probably be, I suppose I look at it from a simplistic terms, that the changes we bring in have to be adaptable at all levels, and have to be easy enough for referees as well. So I don't think we don't need to do anything radical or mad with the game, complex, but there's definitely a few things that we can do to try and improve it as a spectacle, and things that are slowing down the game. So yeah, they'd be the kind of few little things that I would definitely propose changing. Yeah.
Do you see it happening?
I definitely listen. They've the best brains in the room, Paul. So, Jim Gavin certainly won't leave any stones unturned. I think the lads in the room are well versed on, cynical play and what you have to do to slow teams down. And they've all been in that position, and they all know the little tricks of the trade. So you'd hope that they'd be taking a step back to say, well, if we eliminated A, B, and C, we would improve the games as a spectacle. And I think it is improving. I think I'd be a lot more positive, certainly based on the recent league than I probably was coming into the year. I definitely think teams are being a little bit more braver, and are definitely pressing higher up the field. And I think this teams are not dropping off deep as quickly and into that set defense, because I don't think it really works. There's not much success from it. It can curtail, it can keep you in a game, and it might let you hang in there and stuff like that. But I think, the aspect of possession football is always still going to be there. And creating the ball, keeping the ball for the right opportunity, and that has definitely slowed down the game. But I just think we need a few tweaks to maybe encourage teams to move the ball quicker, and I think we're getting there. I think we're getting there. I don't think it needs radical change, but there still is some games that can be very poor on the eye,
Exactly. I think we're all hoping for some sort of change there. But that is all we do have time for on today's podcast. Thanks a million to Ciarán for coming on.
No problem. Thanks, Paul. And I think you got three from play, didn't he? He was the
Yeah.
one. He was the one live wire, the one positive piece up front, and he was coming onto the ball and on the loop and putting himself in great positions and kicked some great scores. You're probably right. A bit of experience. Once he got the couple, he start maybe he took on a couple more. Do you know what I mean? But at least he was still getting in those positions and still creating those opportunities. But he was the only kind of threat, maybe. Do you know what I mean? I think young Cunningham in the corner kicked one, I think, as far as I
Yeah.
know. Yeah, but he's the type of player that, and even Keane Darcy, I suppose, getting games under his belt and stuff like that, that if Pádraig does get the lads back, that he might be able to slot in there and be able to even play off Comer, to be able to offer a different option. Because You have to have more than one dimension in your inside forward line. You know what I mean? It's very, very easy to kind of close down one key player, and you need that different dynamic, a different player for him to kind of play off and try and create, get a little bit more creativity in there.